Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study titled, The Difference 40 Years Makes, Colossians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. This is part 2 of 2.
Just wild looking things, man. Not natural, huh? Well, that was at Allen Creek. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot about that. But we that's why we haven't baptized there since Mariah. But what they had was, they had floods and it deteriorated the banks, and then they found skeletons. And they realized that there had been a cemetery there that they had... Yeah, they're supposed to have moved all the bodies and they didn't get them all. And so... That's the kind of thing we're talking about in Laodicea, that if you came across a spring that was lukewarm like that, it was dangerous. And that's why in the next verse, 16, read that. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's God saying, you make me sick. God is saying, you make me so sick, I want to just vomit you. Could he say anything more clear and degrading to get your attention than to say, you make me so sick I want to vomit you? That's what the word spew means. We use vomit or puke, but it's spew. And some people still use that word, so it's not archaic. But God help us if He would ever say that about us. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am... Now, look, think about what you're hearing of the what they call prosperity preachers and Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now, and all that stuff. People who don't preach the gospel, they don't preach repentance. And look at what it says about this church in Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I am rich... and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Listen, there are people who get up every day. They're taught to do this. They get up every day and they look in the mirror and they say, you are blessed and highly favored. The hand of God is on you, and He is going to give you everything you ever dreamed. By faith I claim, and all that stuff. Where do you ever see anybody doing that in the Bible? Not only do you not see anybody doing that in the Bible, but right here you see that the people who do that are called lukewarm, and God wants to vomit them. Amen. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Finish that out. Read verses 20 through 22 with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Laodicea. 40 years after Paul addresses them in Colossians. 40 years he wants to vomit them. 40 years later, they're described as wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. 40 years later, they're called on to repent. 40 years later, Jesus is knocking on the door to get inside of the Laodicean church. Now, I submit to you that means that Laodicea is a church in name only. And if it's a true church, and if these are saved people, they're not naked, for example. If you're saved, you're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? You shouldn't be wretched and miserable. If you're a Christian and you're wretched and miserable, that's not a good sign. You're not poor. As a matter of fact, God will supply all your needs. How's that go? Somebody,
according to His riches and glory.
So you're not poor. You have access to the riches of God Almighty. You're not blind. That's why we sing about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, I messed it up, didn't I? I once was lost, now I'm found. Just checking to make sure you're paying attention. It was too. But anyway, Stephen, he can't carry a tuna bucket. He's going to lecture me about how. So anyway, blind does not describe the Christian spiritually. There are blind Christians we have here this morning, one of the wonderful blind Christians, physically blind. But this is speaking spiritually. Martha's got 20/20 spiritual vision.
Amen.
By the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in her.
Amen.
That's the difference. So you've got a church here that is not a true church. Now, people like to feel, well, it's called a church. Yes, there's a lot of things called a church. But a church where Jesus is knocking and trying to get in, it's not His church. He is in His church. He is not knocking to get in. Yeah, I mean, you can have a church building, and you can have a preacher, and you can have a deacon board, and you can have the pews, and you can have everything as far as the edifice. But you are only a church of Jesus Christ if He is the head. And if He's the head, He's not knocking to get in. And all in under 40 years' time. I'll be turning 50 this year. I've been a Christian for 30 years. And I think that's I think I made a little script, so I'll put it up there so you can see it while I'm talking. But there are churches that were vibrant, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches when I got saved that are dead today, 30 years later. I've lost track of the number of churches that when I got saved were preaching the King James Bible. 30 years later, they're using Alexandrian corrupt garbage. The ESV, the NIV, the CSB. And they're all a bunch of suckers besides being deceived. Because every one of those new versions was created to make money. It doesn't have anything to do with updating archaic language or anything like that. Every one of those, including the CSB, which is the copyright is held by the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention is a bunch of crooks who came up with their own Bible, not because they couldn't use the NIV. The CSB's just like it. The CSB's just like the New American Standard and the English Standard. There's no differences, of any real consequence, but they have the copyright. That means they make the money. The money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. But if you open up the CSB or NIV or New American Standard or ESV, you look at it will say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See how they watered that down? 30 years. And I'm not going to name the name or anything and try to pick a fight with another church in town or anything. But I'll just tell you this. There's one particular church that used to call itself a Bible Baptist church. Probably one of the strongest King James Bible sound doctrine churches in the country. Let alone the state of Ohio, let alone Central Ohio. 30 years later, they're using the ESV. They've changed their name. No longer Bible or Baptist. And preaching Calvinism and all kinds of other garbage. Now, I just described dozens of churches around the United States of America. And it all happened in 30 years. Churches are people, amen?
Amen?
So the question is, where will you be in 40 years, as the text shows us? 40 years. Let me tell you, when I preached in 1990, ain't anybody thought they'd be here in 2019. Nobody. I'm telling you, if I stood up in the churches I was preaching in, if I'd say, well, now by 2019, you're going to have gay marriage, and you're going to have a president who's defending abortion and trying to close off the border to keep the illegals from coming over, and a lot of Christians are going to stand against him. And you go, I could go on and on, and they'd say, well, first of all, we ain't going to be here in 2019, preacher. In 1990, wasn't anybody thinking they was going to be here. Next year, we used to joke about, you know, Barbara Walters, 2020. And I'm like, well, the rapture's got to happen before 2020. Hey, all I can tell you is none of us know God's plan. We know what we're told, and we're told, as some of the footnotes here, no man knows the day or the hour. So we don't know. But a way of asking is, if you lived for the Lord the way you're living right now and didn't change a thing, where would you be in 40 years? What would you have to show for it in 40 years? Now, in 30 years, since I got saved, I have changed some doctrinal views. I started out, I wasn't King James only, and I taught using an NIV for a few years. I taught using the New King James for a few years. I was still using a New King James Parallel Bible when I met my lovely wife. She set me straight. And but in reality, it was good timing, because what I was doing was I was using that, and I was teaching at I won't name the name of the church. People get their feelings hurt very easily. But I was teaching at another church, other side of town, and as I taught, I would see they're not the same, and I'd say, now I got to tell you. Yeah, they're not the same. Everybody said the New King James is just King James updated. No, they made serious changes. One of them was, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That was one of the changes they made. And so when Jenny and I got married, I told her, you know, I'm becoming less and less of a TR guy, they call him. That's a guy who believes that the received Greek text and the Masoretic Hebrew are the standard, and that the King James is the best English translation of those texts. That's where I was at that time. And I told her, I said, I'm becoming more of a King James guy. I'm starting to believe that God wasn't on vacation in 1611. And that something happened where they gave the best translation, but they also made some changes that weren't really in line with those texts, but they're still the best translation. There's some places where that happened. They also, people always talk about the italics. Listen, every Bible does the same thing. You cannot just translate the Greek language into English without adding some conjunctions and what's the and the, what are those called? What's and the?
Conjunction.
That's a conjunction?
Yeah,
articles, that's it. Hey, Mr. Junction, what's your function? Is that the?
Yeah.
If you have an NIV or an ESV or whatever, what they did was added those words and lied to you and pretended that they weren't added. The King James were honest and put them in italics. And I can't. We don't have time for me to go into all this, but I'm just telling you that I became a King James Bible believer. I don't think you can correct the King James Bible with the Hebrew and the Greek. I just don't believe it. I've seen men try, and it's a disaster. And that's a change for the better. I at first few years I saved, I thought I could lose my salvation. How many of you were there? Did you start out thinking you might be able to lose your salvation? Yeah. Most people were there. And I came to believe that I didn't save myself. Jesus saved me. And when I was born again, I became a new creature. So to be lost again, I'd have to be unborn again. I'd have to go back to being the creature I was beforehand. And I'd also have to no longer be sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. And I realized it's just impossible to be saved and then somehow lose salvation. The question is, are you saved? Get that settled and you're done. You're saved. Now, salvation is settled. Now work out your salvation. Not work for your salvation. Work out your salvation. So forth. So, there have been changes. Now, have I arrived? I'm trying. Every one of us should be trying. But I keep finding places that I need to tweak, areas I need to improve, and all that. But it's not arrogance to say that if I stay on the track I'm on, and I'm saying this is hopefully, prayerfully what you can say this morning. If I stay on the track I'm on, I will not shipwreck. I will not go into apostasy because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. There are people just a couple of years ago who were King James Bible believing sound doctrine. Some not just changed the Bible version to a corrupt version or changed some doctrine, but totally out in sin, totally in the world, totally surrendered to the world. And of course, we can debate, well, maybe they weren't saved in the first place. Well, I do think that if someone is living like that and not under conviction, and God's not chastising you, you better be worried. Not that you've lost it, but that you never had it. You know, Jesus, He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's not somebody who was saved and lost it. That's someone who was never saved in the first place. But there you go. In verse 15, this is how Paul's epistles were originally published and utilized by the local church back in Colossians 4. I'm going to move quickly to get through this, but I just want to mention a couple of things. Verse 15, he says, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house." Read 16 with me. "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." That is why we study verse by verse through books and epistles, and I don't just pick out the big ones. There's some churches where they only preach a handful of verses out of the book of Colossians, and they skip the rest. God gave us a letter, and we were told that we should live by every word of God. Why aren't the churches preaching and teaching every word of God? They're on their way to Laodicea. That's how God intended it, and I'm here to tell you, I believe that that's one of the main things that you will find when we get to heaven and find out what happened to Laodicea. Paul said explicitly, when this epistle is read among you, he's talking about from start to finish, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Now, there were other churches in the vicinity. Why did he pick out the Laodiceans? I don't think there's any accidents in the Scripture, folks. I believe there's a reason why he picked out Laodicea and specifically said, make sure you read the entire epistle, Laodicea. And then I think there's a reason why 40 years later it's dead. these churches that are all into apostasy, no longer on fire for the Lord and preaching the gospel, go to their church for 40 years and you won't learn hardly anything. You'll be lectured about attending church. You'll be lectured about giving. You'll be lectured about inviting people to church. You'll be lectured about whether or not the preacher likes the way you dress. You'll be lectured about the length of your hair. You'll be lectured about... Some of them even preach against facial hair. I mean, all this... trying to keep it clean, folks. All this garbage. Just preaching what the preacher has on his chest. I got to get something off my chest this morning. Well, you know what? Go to the doctor and get some help. We don't care about your chest. We care about the words of God. But let me tell you something. You go out, you look at the churches. Where do people attend church today? They don't want what you got this morning. It wasn't exciting enough for them. Didn't make the hair stand up on the back of their neck. They didn't get emotional and weep a little bit. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, you know, some people, if they don't experience something like that, they ain't been to church. They think that's church. Preaching is when he yells and screams and throws things and walks around with his hand over and then there, and that's a preacher right there. That's a preacher. And he'll go on, I have sat in the pew and listened to a guy just go for 30 minutes just like this at the top of his lungs and he'll just keep half and he'll even hack a little half and get everybody half excited half and after 30 minutes half, he ain't said a thing. Now I heard the story, I've told you this story before. I heard this story where the fellow says, he said he would preach like that. But he really didn't think anybody was listening to what he said anyway. So he got up there and he started it. And he started getting warmed up. And he started to do it just like he's supposed to. And he started to hack. And he started saying, well, I just tell you this. I work hard to try to serve the Lord. And I just thought to myself, you know what I need? I need an RV. So I just went and took the offering. And I went out and bought myself an RV. And I'm going to go camping for the next month. And people were out there just going, praise the Lord, amen, amen, amen. Because they weren't listening to anything. They're used to not even being taught anything. They're just there to get their, you know, they're like our little puppy. We have Tammy Lou. Tammy Lou, man, we get home, we let her, well, we didn't put her in the crate today, so we may not have a house when we get home. But normally we'd put them in the crate, put her in the crate. We let her out, man. She just running all over the place, jumping up on you. Wants you to throw the toy. Wants to jump on you. And she's just all over the place. And it's just craziness. And Jenny will be yelling, Tammy, stop that. Tammy, come on. Tammy, come outside. Tammy. It sounds like a Pentecostal church service. But I get just as much out of watching that as I do the preachers that most churches have these days. It's just as spiritual. Amen? It's a reality. And I believe, I don't know if Laodicea was that charismatic type, or they could have been real mystical. They might have been one of those churches where they broke out the incense, and the preacher would put on a big robe and, alrighty then. And they're ominous, ominous, ominous. And everybody looks at the little cookie on the thing and worships it, you know. Either way, let me put it this way. No matter what it is in your life and whatever it is in local churches that gets your eyes off that book and you no longer think you need every word of God, you just need to be tickled once in a while, you're on your way down. You've already started to backslide. Come on, amen. That's the truth. And I think that's what happened in Laodicea. And then he makes mention there of the epistle. He says, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So what happened to that epistle? It's not in the Bible. I'll tell you this. We can only speculate. But I'll tell you what I think. I think number one, God made sure every epistle He wanted in the Bible is there. And that includes your Book of Enoch. It's not Bible. It's not Scripture.
Amen.
And all those lost books of the Bible, they're rejected books of the Bible. Christians know they're not real. They're not authentic. The people who wrote them pretended to be people they're not. So it's a lie from the very beginning. They're rejected books of the Bible. But there's also the possibility maybe God might have included that, but then when Laodicea became what it was, maybe God just said, nah. God does repent. He doesn't repent of sin because it's impossible that He sinned. But the Bible's clear that there's times where He says He's going to do something and He intends on doing it, but then something will happen to change. Read Jonah. One big example. So we're just speculating. And we don't know what became of Archippus and his ministry. He said in verse 17, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it." Did he? If you're saved, you'll find out because He'll be there with us and you can ask Him. And we'll be there when He's at the judgment seat of Christ. So we'll know. What about you? If you're saved this morning, you've got a ministry. I can't tell you what it is. And it doesn't have to be, you know, where your name is in lights and, you know, We showed a video a few weeks ago, a woman who made quilts. She's 90-some years old, making quilts. That's her ministry. They're being given. Jesus said, "You give a cup of water in my name, you'll be rewarded." Well, you give a quilt in Jesus' name. Amen. You know somebody? I mean, I wish I had spare cars. Our congregation could really use somebody with spare cars. They go up to Dave and Jan, "Hey, here's the keys." Wouldn't that be great? But I don't have spare cars, but you know, sometimes I have something that I can provide for somebody. That's a ministry. You know what everyone in here is commanded to do? Obviously, preach the gospel. Every one of you are called to preach the gospel. We try to help you with it with all these gospel tracts where you can buy a donut at Tim Hortons and leave the gospel. You can check out at Kroger's and leave the gospel. You can walk up to a complete stranger. And if they won't talk to you, ask them if you can give them that. Sometimes they'll say no, whatever. You know, don't take it personal. Just try. That's all God's asked. You also have a ministry of prayer. We're to pray for one another, interceding on behalf of one another. That's a ministry. I thank God He's left Jenny's mom. And we thought she'd gone more than once. And He's left her here and I just believe that God's answering her prayers. She's got a prayer ministry. Anyone in this room can have that ministry. And then if you're not even asking God, "God, help me to see what my ministry is. Help me to fulfill that ministry." Then today ought to be a day where you begin doing that. Everybody in this room, you ought to be praying, "Lord, help me to know what my ministry is. I'm going to try to give the gospel out. Pray better, pray more often, all that. And whatever else you have for me, help me to see it." And Paul certainly was faithful unto the end. Bad eyesight and all. He could have said, "Well, I just don't see too well, so I think I'll just sit here." I've known people like that. I know people who, you know, have health problems like I've got, and they quit the ministry. I'll quit the ministry when I can no longer sit up here upright. I may even stay.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.